Our gracious God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to be in our midst here this morning, that you would speak through your word to reveal to us the truth about Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you're a good God, and that you never let us down. I pray that you would give us the understanding of your Spirit, that you would counsel us and guide us today, that we would know your truth. Speak through me, speak to all of us, and move among us. Holy Spirit, Almighty God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, amen and amen and amen. We continue, as Nick said, our series on the Holy Spirit. God in the present tense. Last week in the sanctuary, I talked about how the Holy Spirit comes to us as an advocate, a counselor, a comforter, a helper, and how Jesus promised his disciples and promised all of us to give us the Holy Spirit, his Spirit with us forever. Now, next week, we'll talk about spiritual gifts, the spiritual gifts that God's Spirit brings to the church. And today, we're talking about a specific gift called the gift of healing. A spiritual gift of healing. Now, as a pastor, you might imagine that in all the years of ministry, I've been asked many times to go to the hospital. In fact, I got a text just a few minutes ago. Somebody listened on live stream that was getting ready to go in for medical procedures, and would you please pray for this treatment to work well? And so I haven't responded yet, but I will. I'll pray, a text, and ask God to move in a mighty way. I never forget the time in Conway that a lady in our church whose name was Margaret asked me to go pray with her sister, Lucy, who was going to have her gallbladder taken out. And Lucy didn't go to church. Lucy had never been to my church. And so I went into the hospital, introduced myself, and told Lucy that her sister had asked me to come and pray for her as she was having gallbladder surgery. So I asked her if it was okay if I took her hand. I took her hand, and I began to pray with her, and I prayed for healing. I prayed that God would heal her and be with her during this procedure to remove her gallbladder. Well, it turns out when they did the surgery, they go in to get the gallbladder and they find cancer there in the area, in the region, and they were able to remove a couple cancerous tumors. And it was miraculous. And Lucy was so excited that God had heard the prayer and that through this prayer that she believed God had brought healing to her. Well, she was so excited that she made me a pecan pie. Right? So she brought me a pecan pie, and I love pecan pie. And if you're from the South, it's pecan pie. If you're from the North, it's pecan pie. But down in Conway, South Carolina, it's pecan pie, right? And so I got a piece of pecan pie. I got ready to bite it. I bit into it, and I broke my tooth off on a hole from the pecan pie. And so I didn't eat any more pecan pie and put it aside. And a couple weeks later, Margaret calls. She says, "I am so thankful you went by to see Lucy and you prayed over her, and this, they found this cancer. It's amazing." I said, "Well, God is good." And I said, "Lucy's already thanked me. She made me a pecan pie." And Margaret paused. She said, "You didn't eat it, did you?" And I said, "Well, actually, I tried a piece." And she said, "Well, you got to understand, whenever Lucy gets to drinking, she starts making pecan pies, and she puts the shells, the holes, everything in the pecan pie." And so I said, "Okay, thank you. No more pecan pie for me. So if you make me a pecan pie, please take out the holes." But, you know, we laugh about that, but God moves in all kinds of mysterious ways. I want to say this morning, I believe in divine healing. I believe in divine healing, but I do not believe in divine healers. I believe in faith healing, but I do not believe in faith healers. I believe that God can put the healing power, his healing power upon anyone at any time, any place for his purpose, that God has the power to step into situations and to heal, transform, and deliver people. Jesus traveled, it says in Scripture, throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease, every kind of illness. And Jesus, in Luke's gospel, declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." See, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here this morning, that those who are oppressed can be set free, that those who are in bondage can be delivered. And Jesus promised his Holy Spirit to the disciples. He breathed upon them and said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses and you'll go out and change the world. And we pick up the story following the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost in Acts chapter 5. In these words, Acts chapter 5, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. We see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. I believe we still see the manifestation of God's Spirit all over the world, where people are being touched and people are being delivered. We look at another passage of scripture this morning, and I'll teach on this in just a minute, but it's how healing is to be handled in the church. And this is James, the half-brother of Jesus. He writes here in James chapter 5, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Now, what jumps out at me in this passage here, one of the things, and I'll teach more on it in just a minute, is that the Lord will make you well. The Lord will make you well. God is the healer. God is the divine source of healing. And we believe that and claim that here today. You know, the gift of healing is to make God's love and power more famous. Is for God to become more famous in this place because of his power and his love. Not the person who's praying for healing. Not the person who is laying hands on someone. Our motivation is to share the love of God and to be conduits, messengers of the power of God. As we get into this morning, I want to take a minute and talk about the relationship of sin to sickness and death. And talk about something for a minute called original sin. Original sin is our nature. The reality is that everybody in this room here, all of us in this room, are sinners. And we're sinners because our nature is derived in such a way that we are sinful people. And where did it begin, you say? What causes that? Romans 5:12, Paul addresses this. He said, when Adam sinned, remember the story in the Garden of Eden? When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Everyone sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this perfect state in the Garden of Eden was changed and corrupted when Adam and Eve committed their first and original sin. And that sin introduced darkness, sickness, and death into the creation. And every human being since then has inherited that sin. All of us have inherited it. Our kids have inherited it. The little babies here this morning have inherited that sin. It's a part of creation. And all of us are going to battle with that. We're going to battle with sickness. We're going to battle with death. And all of us in this room are terminal. And unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will all experience that. It's a part of the broken world caused by original sin. Now, there's another type of sin I want to talk about, and that's personal sin. Personal sin is when we are disobedient with God. And all of us, I believe, because of personal sin, are defeated until we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus has the power to forgive our sins, to wash our sins away, to make us right with God. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us wrestle with daily challenges. People came this morning, several people came to a healing station that I was at and said, I want you to pray that I would overcome temptation. They were in a battle against a temptation, because every day you and I are tempted, and the Holy Spirit comes to help us overcome sin in our life. So I want to say two things to you about sin and sickness. Sometimes there is a direct link between personal sin and sickness. There's a link between personal sin and sickness. Whether it's a bad habit or a bad choice that we make, it can bring sin into our life. And Brent Powers, my wonderful family physician, my doctor, I got to confess, Brent, that last night, and Lynn is over there, I hit all the evidence, but last night I ate snacks after I should have eaten snacks. You know, broke into the chips and got into the chocolate, and I felt bad this morning. You know, because I know Brent Story told me that if I keep doing that and don't break that habit, there's going to be a chance that I'm going to have some health problems down the road. I'm going to gain too much weight. I'm going to have some diabetes problems potentially because I'm making bad choices. You see, we can make choices that will cause us to get sick. And one of the things we prayed for at our station was stress. People were just anxious. And anxiety and stress can cause us to get sick. And so there is a connection sometimes between personal sin and sickness. But let me be clear, sometimes there is no relationship between personal sin and sickness. Sometimes we have done nothing wrong and we're gonna get sick. Why? Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that DNA is broken. We live in an environment that is broken, and things happen chemically and in our world because things are broken. And it's gonna continue to be broken until, again, God establishes a new kingdom. And a new earth. So sometimes there is a relationship between personal sin and sickness, and sometimes there is no relationship between personal sin and sickness. Jesus was walking along, and John describes it in chapter 9. He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Sometimes there is no relationship. I want to be clear on that this morning. I believe that God has the power to heal, and I believe that it is his will, hear me when I say this, his will to heal everyone. Everyone. What do I mean by that? How does God heal everyone? Well, sometimes God heals everyone suddenly. There were times in Scripture where Jesus spoke a single word and somebody was healed. They were delivered from captivity, from bondage. He said a word and they were made well. Today, somebody here in this room, if God desires, could be healed instantly. I believe that can happen. I believe it happens more than we know that it happens. I believe that one day we'll get to heaven and God says, well, you know, you had this going on and you didn't even know it, but I touched your body and something miraculous happened. And we weren't even aware of it. So I believe that can happen, that God can move in those kinds of ways. But also I know that God heals gradually. And today, God may set in motion the process of your healing. And your healing might happen through treatment. It might happen through therapy. It might happen over time. Through a dedicated doctor, a committed nurse, an insightful counselor. And today may be the first of many prayers that will lead to your healing. And as I wrestled with this message and wrestled with this idea of healing, I already had all this done. And yesterday, the Lord said, there's one more thing you got to say about this. Because hear this, sometimes the healing that people receive, that we receive in the midst of sickness, is the grace to endure the affliction. That's the healing, is the grace to endure the affliction. Haven't we all known loved ones who God gave them a special anointing of grace to endure that affliction? And to be a great witness in the midst of that affliction and to bestow grace on other people. I always think of my brother-in-law who was the same age as I am and when he contracted ALS and how he battled ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease. And he was stricken by an affliction and we prayed over him. He prayed. But what happened in his life was a miracle that he had the incredible grace of God to endure that and to be a witness. To his dying breath, he was a witness of the power of God. And he gave people great hope that they could navigate anything because God was going to be with them. So I want you to hear that, right? God hears suddenly. God heals gradually. God heals in grace to endure. And God always heals ultimately in resurrection. We believe as Christians that in resurrection, in eternal life, we're healed. Ernest does not have AOS. He has gone to be with the Lord. He has been set free from AOS. And in our family talk sometimes, we dream about Ernest. And some of my family members talk about that when they see Ernest in their dreams, he doesn't have AOS. He's laughing and running and doing the things that he wants to do. We have that promise in Scripture. In fact, John the Revelator said in Revelation, one day God's home will be among the people. Then he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Amen? All these things that you and I wrestle with are gone forever. Now, what are the steps for healing as we get ready in just a few minutes to have a time of healing? I take this again from the book of James. If are any of you sick, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed sins, you will be forgiven. Very quickly this morning, here are the steps as we're going to follow this morning. First of all is we want you to begin, we all begin by confessing our sins. When we confess our sins, burdens are lifted, barriers removed. I believe confession begins healing in our soul. It's part of the process. It restores broken relationship. Number two in James is that the person who is sick is to request prayer. So we have four stations set up where you will come and stand or kneel and request prayer. Request to be prayed over this morning. It is up to you to come and request. We can't, you know, telepathically know what your need is. But you come, it says in James, and request prayer. Number three is the elders or leaders pray in the name of the Lord. We will pray for you in the name of the Lord. And that prayer, what does that mean? That prayer, when we pray in a few minutes, and we've got 16 people praying this morning in both the sanctuary and the auditorium, all in, at eight stations, we're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Our prayer is based on Jesus and his merit. Our prayer is based on his authority, not ours. His righteousness, not ours. His relationship with the Father, his reputation, and it represents his will. In the name of the Lord represents his will. His will be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And then we will anoint you with oil. You know, well, I mean, before that, importance of faith. And this is really a neat teaching here on faith. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. So the importance of faith, and I've shared this with some of our people that are going to come and pray with me this morning, that the importance is the faith of the prayer, not the sick person. Because it says the prayer of faith will bring healing. So maybe this morning your faith is really low. You still come. And we're going to pray in the name of the Lord on his reputation. And we're going to pray in faith that he's going to do a mighty work in your life today. So it's not the measure of your faith, to be the measure of those of us who are praying over you. And we've been praying for these persons who are going to pray this morning. We've been praying for this service for weeks, that God is going to do a mighty work. And then we're going to anoint with oil. Anoint with oil. In the book of James in the Bible, oil was used for medicine. And so we're going to anoint with oil. It's also used as a sign of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to use oil because we want you to come for prayer. But also we want you to make sure you're receiving the very best medical help you can get, the very best counseling you can get, and that in partnership with prayer and medicine, partnership with prayer and counseling, that God will do a mighty work. Again, I love my doctors who pray with me, and I think I'm getting the best of both worlds here. I'm getting the wisdom of their knowledge of wisdom and medicine, but also their faith. So it's both and. It's both and, medicine and prayer. So to prepare our hearts for this healing, I want us to do a couple things. The first thing I want us to do is have a prayer of confession together. So I want all of us across this room to pray a prayer of confession, because I want you to hear this. You may not have a need today, but you may be the one who prays for someone's need to be met. All of us need to be right with God right now. And we can do that by praying this prayer of confession. Would you pray this prayer with me? We confess, O God, that we are attracted to false gods and easy answers in life. We are vulnerable to temptations that could damage us in ways that are not obvious. Forgive us that sin that draws us like moths to a flame. Restore us, heal us, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When we pray, we need to claim those prayers on Scripture. So I want us to read together some words of assurance. I love these words from the Psalms, Psalm 103. Would you read this with me? The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And in the name of Jesus Christ, God forgives your sins and offers you a transformed future. Live fully into God's grace. Amen. And read this scripture with me as an affirmation from Isaiah 53. I love these words. I'm claiming these words today in my life, in your life. Read it with me. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it upon himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. Through his bruises, we get healed. There is power in the cross. There is power in what Jesus Christ did for all of us. His blood was shed, his body was broken, that we can receive that power in our lives. I've asked the team to sing an incredible song to set us up for what God's about to do. When I heard this song, knowing we were going to do this service, I said, we got to sing this song. So Melody is going to come and sing a song that says, I want you more than anything. And more than anything in this room today, what God wants from you and what God wants to do for you is for you to have a personal relationship with him. That's the number one thing that God wants to do here today. Jesus said it this way, what good is it for a man or a woman to gain the whole world, to gain perfect health, and to lose their soul? God wants your soul to be well, to be able to sing, it is well with my soul today. Father God, I pray that in these moments that your power would move in this room. And Lord, we don't believe in magic. We believe in miracles. And we believe in miracles because of Jesus Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, I pray that we want you in our lives more than anything else. And when we have you, everything else falls into place. Everything else makes sense. Help us to want you more than anything.